It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is my spirit dad, Pastor Dwight Shepherd. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Doing well.
Amen.
Blessed and highly favored. Is that the answer you expected?
Yeah. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church, located here in Elk City. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out?
I will. Gracious Heavenly Father, this morning as we come before you, we're thankful to you for who you are to us, for your faithfulness, your love, your never-ending, unchanging love. Father, we're thankful that we have a God in our lives, that you have chosen us and called us to yourself. That you have washed away our sin through the blood of Jesus Christ and made us qualify to be heirs of God, inheritors of your grace. Because of that, we gather in your name, Lord God, to just share your word with our brothers and sisters and to join our faith together in prayer and receive answers. So as we are gathered together this morning, Lord God, we ask your blessing upon this program, upon every listener. We ask that our hearts be captivated by your Holy Spirit, that every distraction, every hindrance be removed. We speak your peace and grace over every mind and every heart. Make us ready, Lord God, to receive what you have for us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning.
Yeah.
Belong to the family.
Belong to the family. The family.
Like
the right
family,
not that Italian one over there. No.
I like family.
Family's good. You know, the Bible says God sets the lonely in families. And I think about that. You know, sometimes that becomes a physical reality in a person's life. They are physically lonely, and God can bring into their life family, friends. And I'll tell you this, there are churches all over Western Oklahoma, all over the world really, but all over Western Oklahoma, that if you don't have a family to belong to, I promise you there are so many churches that would love to welcome you and welcome you with open arms. And if you've ever tried or you know someone and said, well, I went to church, but it sure didn't feel like family, don't give up. There are churches that will make you welcome and make you feel like family because the love of God is there. And that's what you're looking for. You're not looking for any particular label. Let the Holy Spirit lead you because God wants you to belong to his family first and foremost. And there's only one Jesus. He's not a Pentecostal Jesus. He's not a Baptist Jesus. He's not a this Jesus or a that Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. Our Savior and our Lord, and he loves you. And I don't know exactly where all we're going to go today, but I can promise you this, we're going to preach the gospel, the good news. God loved you so much that he gave his son Jesus to die in our place, take away our sin. For what reason? So we could establish a new religion and make up a bunch of rules? No. So that we could have an intimate covenant relationship with God, our Father himself. Jesus, in teaching the disciples to pray, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, the very first word he said, when you pray, say, Abba. You know, we translated it. It translated, our Father who art in heaven. Well, Jesus said, Abba. That was his word. He didn't speak Shakespearean English, you know. So we need to understand that Jesus wanted us to have God our Father as Abba, which is probably the closest English word we would have to that would be Daddy. And Daddy's not disrespectful to me. I never called my dad here on earth. I never called him Father, not one single time. Not one single time. I'm not opposed to anyone calling their dad Father if that's their deal, but for me that just seemed too distant. I always called my dad Dad. When I was little, I probably called him Daddy, but in my memory, it was just Dad. And Jesus wants us to have closeness. So I'm going to pick up a passage of Scripture here in Matthew chapter 12, and just start reading in verse 46. Jesus had been talking for a little bit here, but I want to pick up on what he says, starting in verse 46, Matthew 12, 46. And we're going to read just a few verses here through 50. It says, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother, what's her name? Mary. Mother Mary, his brothers stood outside. A lot of people freak out when they start thinking Jesus had brothers. But Jesus had several brothers. Matter of fact, the book of James written in the back of your Bible is written by Jesus' younger, I'm going to call him what he is, half-brother. Because he didn't have the same father as Jesus did. The Holy Spirit's Jesus' father, who the Holy Spirit planted in the Virgin Mary, the seed of God himself. And Jesus, the Son of God, was conceived in her womb by miraculous intervention and born to a virgin mother. But after that, Mary and her husband Joseph conceived and had other children. And Jesus grew up in a family. Isn't that interesting? Does Jesus know what it's like to have younger brothers and sisters? You know, yes, he does. Does someone have to look up at Jesus as an older brother? Yes, they did. Did Mary ever have to raise a teenager named Jesus? Yes, she did. He said, well, I wonder what he was like. Well, he didn't commit any sins, but the Bible says that he felt our humanity. He was made like us in every way. He was tempted in every way, even as we are, but he wasn't without sin. So I don't want you to lose sight of the fact that Jesus was part of a family. While Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother's brothers came and stood outside wanting to speak to him. And someone told him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak with you. And he replied, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. Now, I want to tell you something. Jesus was not being disrespectful. He was not disowning his physical, biological family. But what he was trying to get us to see is God is not using Jesus to start a religion. Jesus never came to establish a religion. I don't consider Christianity to really be a religion. I mean, I understand that the world views Christianity as a religion, and probably the foremost religion. But I don't look at Christianity as a religion, because in my mind, religion is man trying to work his way toward an angry God by doing things to appease God's anger. And that's not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is summed up really in John 3:16. I've already quoted, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God's the one doing the reaching out. It's not us striving to be good enough to have a relationship with God. It's God showing us how much he loves us. The Bible says God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get good. He reached out to us in love. When we were at our absolute worst, God still loved us. That doesn't mean we got to have an intimate relationship with him when we were lost in our sins, but he was there. If he wasn't, we would never come out. If it wasn't for his precious presence in the middle of our pit, we would never know the difference. Our hearts would never turn to God. Our eyes would never be opened to the fact that we were in a pig pen. And we could go back to our father's house, like the prodigal son of Luke chapter 15. He came to his senses, you know. And he didn't feel like he was worthy to return to his father, but he said, I'm going to get up and go back, and I'm going to tell him that. I'm going to tell him I'm not worthy to be your son. If it weren't for God's Holy Spirit and God drawing us to his family, we would never make such a turn. Not one of us would have ever turned away from our sins to come to know God. Jesus is not denying his mother. I can assure you of that. The Bible says, honor your father and mother. It's a first commandment with a promise. Jesus was not dishonoring Mary when they said, hey, your mother Mary is outside, your brothers, James, Jude, they're outside. He said, he looked around the room and he goes, I'm going to say it a little bit different way. He's not saying they're not my family. Those ones outside, they're not my family. He didn't say that. But he said, these inside the room, they are my family also. And he said it this way, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, my mother. I ask you a question today. Are you a doer of the will of God? Do you do what God wills you to do? Or do you agree with it, but not do it? Or maybe, they probably wouldn't be listening to me this morning, but there are people who literally just disagree with it. They disagree with the will of God. You know, I'm not going to go very far down this road to this morning. I don't think I really need to. But, you know, here in just a few short weeks, we as American citizens are going to have an opportunity to go vote at the polls. And there's this vast difference between the two parties that are represented on that ballot. And one of those parties, literally, you go read their platform, the Democratic Party does not stand in line with the Word of God. They want to redefine traditional marriage. They want to promote all kinds of agendas and ideologies that the Bible's flat out opposed to. You know, the Bible tells us that a man should not dress in woman's clothes. And the Democratic Party wants to promote transgenderism, promote surgeries for children who have become confused. Well, how'd that child become confused? The same way you confuse them by pretending to pull your thumb off. They've been deceived by someone else. And we need that to stop. But we cannot legislate morality. We're going to vote, and we want godly laws. We want laws that are in line with the Word of God because we want the blessing of God on our nation, and we want to try to help any way we can to curb and slow down this agenda of literally lawlessness. The lawless one is working behind the scenes to try to take power. The Bible talks about him, talks about a man of perdition, the lawless one. He's the one instigating all this stuff. When you look at politicians, whatever, on this side or that side or whatever, and you say, oh my gosh, what's going on? Remember this, we're not warring against flesh and blood, but we're warring against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. But we have weapons that we can use, and weapons are not knives and guns and bombs and this and that. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Our weapons involve prayer. I don't believe that we do spiritual warfare apart from prayer. Now, I do believe that there are declarations that need to be made. I believe that there are decrees that need to be made because words spoken in faith matter. But in order for me or you or any other person to decree things and declare things and pray in confidence and receive results, it's all going to come back to this. What right or what basis do you have to ask? What gives you the right? Like if you come to me and you say, what gives you the right to ask me for anything? Well, even if I didn't know you and you were a complete and total stranger, the fact that we would be both of the fellow human race, that would make you my brother or sister in a certain degree, and I should have compassion for you because you're a human being and I am too. You were created by God, whether you know it or don't know it, you were created by God in the womb of your mother. He knew you before you were born, therefore you must have been a person. That's another reason why we don't want to vote for the Democratic Party. They are absolutely, they're not just saying, they call it health care, but it's not like that. They're not promoting health care. They are promoting the ending of lives. There's no ifs, ands, and buts around it. We can no longer pretend to be ignorant when we can look at a 4D ultrasound and you say, what is that in that woman's womb? It is not a tadpole. It is a baby. It's not tissue, it is a baby. And there is no doubt about it, the science. They like to bark and holler and say, follow the science, follow the science. Well, amen, follow the science. Follow the science. And then I'll say this one step further. Even if the science is not evident, follow the word, because God's never been wrong. You know, God was right before science proved him right.
Come on.
Come on. He was right. These words are written, you know, but when I knit you together in your mother's womb, you know, it's like, but when that was written, they didn't have any idea how babies got formed in the womb. But God's word was absolutely correct and right on. And then science comes along thousands of years later, catches up and proves it. Imagine that. So we need to do our part. Just when it comes time to vote, we need to vote in line with the word of God. If you don't know what a candidate stands for, go find out. And I'll tell you this, you just go find out. Just go find out. It's not hard. Go find out. Look them up. Don't listen to the TV commercials. Because all those TV commercials are, even a politician who has good intentions and this and that other, they'll get these people advising them, and they'll come up with some commercials and things. If you want to win, you're going to have to denounce your opponent in this way, in this way, in this way. And boy, they start throwing mud at each other. It's just ridiculous and stupid. Don't even bother listening to the commercials, because they're all liars. There you go.
Come on.
But do your homework. If they've been involved, they have a voting record. They have a track record. Pretty easy to tell who someone is by what they've been doing. Now, I'm not talking about what they did 20 years ago, because they may have been a whole different person then. I remember when I was a different person. I remember when Monica was a different person. You can't take the things that I did in high school and hold them against me now, because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, does that mean, you know, if I did something in high school that legally had effects today, then yeah, but I would still be bound to those legal things. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about moral issues. If someone morally has made mistakes in their past, but then they've come to know the Lord, that past, according to the word of God, is past. So we need to leave it that way. I want to look at who are you now? That's what really matters. Who are you now? And I'm not talking about who do you say you are now. I'm talking about who you are. So check it out. So Jesus was teaching, talking. His mother's brothers came, and they said, yeah, they want to talk to you. He said, I tell you what, those who are inside this room who do the will of my Heavenly Father, they are my mothers and my brothers and my sisters also. Now I want you to think about this. According to this passage, Jesus, in a way, elevated every person who is a doer of the will of God to the same level of family, intimacy. What he was trying to get us to see is, if you're a doer of the will of God, Mary has no greater status in the kingdom of God than you do. I might have just lost some of my Catholic friends right then. I don't know. But it's the honest truth. If Mary could speak to us today, she would tell us that we as believers in Jesus, her son, her Messiah, she had to believe Jesus as the Messiah. She had to receive him as Lord and Savior, just like we do. Mary was there on the day of, Mary's Pentecostal, by the way. She was there on the day of Pentecost and was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues. I guarantee you, she was there. Come on. You can't deny it. If you read the Bible, you can't deny it. She was there. She had to believe that Jesus was the Christ, just like we do. And what Jesus was trying to get us to see here is that when we do believe and do the will of God our Father, that we're taken into a place where you are literally made into the family of God. Jesus calls us brothers, sisters. And, you know, how does he relate us with his mother? He said about his disciples, this is my brother, my sister, my mother. In other words, if you're a doer of the word, you're my intimate family, Jesus said. You're my intimate family. Now think about that. Somebody comes against your intimate family. What do? I'm in a room, couple ladies. I know this term called mama bear. And you know what? Men can become mama bear too. We call them papa bear, but You don't want to mess with somebody's intimate family, their immediate intimate family. You come against my family, you come against me. Now think about that. Jesus saying, if you come against my family, you come against me. I like being intimately part of Jesus' family. But what is it that qualifies us to do that? He said, those that do the will of my Father in heaven. Well, are you going to be able to do the will of your Father in heaven if you don't even know the will of your Father in heaven? I doubt it. First of all, you're going to have to know him. And one of the best ways we know him is by his word. We get to know the character and the nature of God, but we've got to also spend time with him. We've got to take the time to be with God. And, you know, God's portable. I take him everywhere I go. He takes me everywhere I go. But at the same time, there are those times we need to come apart. So Jesus was saying, if you're a doer of the will of my Father in heaven, it is as if you are my brother, my sister, my mother. Now I want you to look at something in John's Gospel, the second chapter of John's Gospel. You're probably familiar with this if you're familiar with your Bible very much, but it's the first miracle, the first public miracle that Jesus performed after being baptized by John the Baptist and led by the Spirit in the wilderness and tempted and overcome in the devil's temptation. Jesus begins to get some disciples following, and then he's invited to a wedding. And in John chapter 2, verse 1, on the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there. That's Mary. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." Jesus replied, "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" He replied, "My time has not yet come." In other words, Jesus was saying to her, the time of my public manifestation of miracles is not at hand. His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, you need to see this in order to really get it. She comes to him. He's just at a wedding. He's with his disciples. He's not in charge. He's not. He's just there. He's just a guest. As far as anybody else knows, he's just Jesus, the son of Mary, brother of James, this one, that one, and he's got some followers.
I don't mean to interrupt. However, I just got an immediate prayer request, and to me, immediate means right now.
All right.
Right now. I'm going to spell the last name because I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Pray for Lonnie, I-S-C-H, father of Bab Coker, taken to the ER from the VA hospital.
All right. Father, we bring this man before you. We pray, Lord Jesus, for Lonnie. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that your grace would touch Lonnie in such a way that it magnifies and glorifies you as Lord Jesus. We believe you are the same Jesus. You are seated at the throne, the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for us because you loved us so much that you gave yourself for us. We have covenant right to come before your throne. You told us, come boldly to the throne of grace. And so right now, even as Lonnie is being transported, Lord God, we pray for a touch of grace, a release of virtue that causes a transformation to take place in such a way that you receive all the glory. We ask it in your precious name, Lord Jesus, and we give you thanks for it. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. We want to hear the praise report on that, don't we? Because we don't pray to take up time. We're praying to get results. We believe God wants us to have results. Why? Because our prayer results are the evidence of our covenant relationship with Jesus, and that's what it's really all about. So when Jesus was at this wedding in Cana, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly how long the wedding had gone on, but in Jewish customs, they might go on for days and days and days, and they had ran out of wine. Now, I'm going to tell you this straight up. Wine is not the focus of this miracle. I believe it could have been they ran out of food. they ran out of water, they ran out of whatever. The focus of this miracle is about this. Here are some people who've come in a place where they have a desperate, immediate need in their life, and they are friends, apparently, of Mary, of Jesus, or they wouldn't have been invited to the wedding, and they are about to suffer a deep humiliation. If you have not seen it yet, I don't remember exactly which episode it is of season one of The Chosen where they portray this wedding in the in Galilee, Cana. I think it might be episode 6, but you can find. Just go watch all of them. You'll see it sooner or later. They're all good. Season 3 is about to come out before too long. It'll be all good. But I love the way they portray this. But Jesus, correct me if I'm wrong, she says, we need to help them. And Jesus literally says, timing is off.
It's episode 5.
Episode 5. There you have it. I was one episode off. So, episode 5 of season 1, and you can watch The Chosen on YouTube. I'll tell you a good place to get it. Get the Angel Studios app either in your phone or on your television, and you can just watch that, and you can watch some other good stuff too. You don't have to pay for it. So, but you can pay it forward and help other people be blessed. But Jesus is, he's at the wedding, and a need arises, and I want you to get something here. Jesus said, why do you involve me? Let me translate that into my own language. That's not my problem. That's not my problem. You know, a lot of times there are people that bring their problems into your world. And in essence, you go, that's not my problem. But does the Lord want us just to turn our back on it? He said, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come. He wasn't saying I don't care. He was saying it's not the right time. But watch what she does. His mother turns and says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Let me put it this way. She didn't take no for an answer. She didn't take it's not the right time for an answer. She just began immediately to expect him to do what she asked. Who did that? Mary, who is she? Mother of Jesus. Is she? Yeah, but she's Jesus' mother. Yeah, and so am I. You know, say what? Preacher, you got a beard. You're nobody's mother. I get you. But Jesus said, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, they're my brothers, my sister, my mother also. And I know he wasn't calling the guys his mother. He's saying, you're intimate family to me just like she is. You're intimate family to me just like my brother James is. And because you're intimate family to me, we have a connection. We have a relationship. You should not be afraid to approach the Lord about things in your life or about things in other people's life. Because why? Because we have an intimate relationship. You know, my grandkids sometimes, they'll just come into my house. I buy these special chicken nuggets at Sam's. They got pickle flavoring in them. I put them in the freezer. They come in. I'm not there. You know what they do? They get my chicken nuggets. Right straight up out of the freezer, put them in the air fryer, cook them, began to eat them with my Chick-fil-A sauce. Didn't even ask me. How bold, audacious can they be? You know, sometimes I just flat out tell them, I say, I got chicken nuggets in there, and those are for me. Y'all's are over there. When yours are gone, they're gone. They're teenagers, man. You got to watch that stuff. But I love the fact that they're comfortable enough with their Nana and Poppy, that's what they call us, that they will come into our house, and they're respectful. They're not disrespectful. I don't want to paint the picture they're disrespectful, but they know that it's okay. If it's not okay with me, it's okay with Nana, and that trumps anything I would have to say anyway, right? We know. So Mary's there, and she goes, we need to help them. They're going to be, I'm going to give you the long version. If you don't help them, they're going to be embarrassed. They're going to be humiliated. Their reputation will be destroyed. And they are close friends of ours. They're intimate to us. Jesus just says, it's not my time. And his mother just ignored that and says, turns to servants. You do whatever he tells you to do. And nearby stood 6 stone water pots, used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. That's a lot. And Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And so they filled them. Why'd they do it? Because Mary interceded. To intercede means you go between. You want to be good at prayer? You want to be good at interceding for other people? While you're interceding, you have to become part of that equation. I'm not just standing off at a distance, talking to a distant God about a distant problem. If I want to get answers, if I want to really intercede, then I'm taking that issue that someone has brought to me, even though it's like, what does that have to do with me? Why involve me? Take it upon yourself. Just for that time, I'm not saying go around carrying everybody's problems all the time, because you got to eat your lunch before noon. You would be done with yourself. You would be depressed, overdone. But you can take someone's issue, someone's need, and you can, for that moment, come before Father God. It involves you. I am carrying, like the four people who brought their friend on the mat to Jesus, and it says they couldn't get in. Why couldn't they get in? Because too many people already had got in. The crowd was all around Jesus. They couldn't even get to the house. So they didn't stop there. They just went up, climbed up on the roof, began to peel off the tiles of the roof, broke through. I can imagine stuff falling down. Jesus in there going, hey, what's that? And all of a sudden light pops through, and then they open the roof up enough to lower the man down right in front of Jesus, and he's paralyzed. Well, he didn't stay that way, did he? Why not? Because they believed that they had whatever it was that drove them, they had the audacity to literally not take no for an answer. They were not going to be denied that day. Just because they can't physically get to him right through the door, they were not going to be denied. And the Bible clearly says this, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic man, son, your sins be forgiven. And when he said that, of course, the Pharisees, they blew up. And Jesus says, what's easier to say, arise and take up your mat, or your sins are forgiven? And so Jesus turned to the Pharisees and said, I tell you this so that you know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive on earth. I say to you, arise. And the man got up. Well, he would have never got up if somebody didn't have the audacity to rip off the roof. And they wouldn't have had the audacity to rip off the roof if they didn't believe that Jesus was the healer and that he cared, you know, that he wouldn't come storming out there going, what are you doing to this roof? You know, they knew the compassion of Jesus. Well, you don't know the compassion of Jesus until you know Jesus. Amen. And I believe this, if you know Jesus, you love him. And if you don't love him, the only reason you don't love him, because you don't know him. I believe that. So get to know him. We'll finish our story here.